Welcome to the MDS Podcast, the official channel of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society. I am your host, Sara Camargos, and we present today the second episode of our Hot Topic series on palliative care in movement disorders. I have with me Mr. Victor McConvey. Mr. McConvey is the former chair of the MDS Palliative Care Task Force, and one of Australia's most knowledgeable healthcare professionals in Parkinson's care. He is the manager of the Health, Clinical and Community Services at Fight Parkinson's in Melbourne, Australia. Mr. McConvey, thank you very much for joining us today. Could you please tell us your background and how you came in palliative care in movement disorders, as well as your work at Fight Parkinson's?
Thank you so much, Sarah, for the opportunity to participate in the podcast series. A little bit about me. I'm a nurse by background, and I've been a nurse for the last 35 years and probably spent the vast majority of my career working in progressive neurology, both in ALS initially and then transitioning into a Parkinson's disease nurse practitioner role when I worked in the UK. Currently, I work at Fight Parkinson's as the statewide manager of health and clinical services. And I have a particular passion for palliative care, understanding that the end of life care for people with Parkinson's and all progressive neurological conditions is often not as well looked after in our healthcare system. And so it's something that I've been really passionate about improving.
How do you see palliative care in movement disorders today? Are we moving forward, considering that several health committees and organizations now recognize an important gap in this field?
Look, I think that's a really excellent question. And encouragingly, I think we are moving forward at different speeds in different areas of the world, but we are certainly moving forward. We are now acknowledging that palliative care is something that people with progressive neurological illnesses like Parkinson's need to have. We've seen excellent models of palliative care emerge. And it's been recognized in the World Health Organization's technical brief on Parkinson's disease that palliative care services are actually a significant gap and that we need to develop a better response to complex advanced and end of life palliative care. We've seen some beautiful models emerging, and also considering that Parkinson's is a condition where we can only ever control symptoms, that is the essence of palliative care. So really, the care we're delivering from diagnosis is actually, in fact, palliative. We just need to be brave enough to say, actually, this is what we need to do. Patient-centered, multidisciplinary, integrated care, which is focused around excellent symptom management, which is the essence of palliative care. And that's what we all strive to do anyway in movement disorders.
Previous project of yours highlighted through a global survey several barriers and attitudes toward palliative care among movement disorders. One important issue was the lack of confidence among clinicians in referring their patients to palliative care. How we are today?
I think in different parts of the world, we have different experiences in palliative care and access to palliative care. The Access and Attitudes survey and article that the task force developed really highlighted some barriers which are variable around the world, but also highlighted that amongst our neurology community, there was a passion, particularly amongst our younger neurologists, to actually learn more about palliative care, understand what palliative skills looked like, so they could actually follow their patients as their illness progressed, rather than getting to a point where there's really not much else I can do for you. That is less apparent now in neurology, which is really encouraging to see. We're seeing some excellent models of palliative care, such as the work pioneered by Janice Miyasaki in Alberta, is amazing models of palliative care that is holistic, multidisciplinary, and supports the person right the way through life. We see some barriers in some countries to accessing that, where palliative care is maybe resource limited and often restricted to people with an oncological diagnosis. But I also see in many countries like Great Britain and in Australia and South Africa, that's changing. And there's a greater acceptance of people with neurological illnesses within our palliative care sector, and the nurses and other clinicians wanting to know more about how to manage these complex end-of-life issues.
Yes. And palliative care is not only the end-of-life care, and be aware of it, as you said. Interdisciplinary collaboration is really important. Who are the health professionals involved in palliative care for people with movement disorders?
I think we can see there's often a core of healthcare professionals which might focus around neurologists, palliative care physicians, nurses, physios, OTs, speech and language therapists. But that team needs to expand for the patients. So we need to include social work, psychology, music therapy, spiritual care, whether it be pastoral care through a faith-based person or whatever that person actually needs, to make sure that as we get to that period of life where a person with Parkinson's or atypical Parkinson's has a high level of disability, maybe there's some impaired communication, that we're all working together to make sure that the person is able to see some joy in their life, to be comfortable, both from a physical perspective, a psychological perspective, and a spiritual perspective, that we really deliver that holistic care as we would all want to receive ourselves. And as clinicians working in the space, we need to be really brave and pioneer and push that this is really important. That if someone wants to have their pet dog come along to sit on their bed and the hospital says no, we need to work out a way around that, because that's really important for that person. So we need to be flexible and person-centered.
Yeah. You have a program with dancing with Parkinson's and box with Parkinson's. So more professionals in the field as well, I believe.
Absolutely. We have some amazing programs that have often been community-driven by people with Parkinson's, and often bringing some clinicians and clinician researchers along the way. We have painting with Parkinson's, boxing, pickleball, ping pong of Parkinson's. So we've got this vast variety of programs that people can participate in and continue participating in as their illness progresses, as there's modifications made to make it easier as disability increases. And that's bringing in something that is maybe non-medical, that actually gives joy and happiness to people with Parkinson's, and a sense of normalcy. When everything else has changed, you can still play ping pong. You can still get out there and play pickleball.
Yes.
When maybe you can't walk down the street that well, but you can play pickleball, that's great. We need to really focus as clinicians and think more broadly about what our patients want.
And make them happy. Mm. And show them there is a space for a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
How diversity, cultural factors, and belief systems intersect with palliative care for Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders?
That's an incredibly important consideration. That certainly in illnesses where we can only treat symptoms, so our atypical Parkinson's conditions and our Parkinson's conditions, understanding that whole person is really important. Understanding how cultural beliefs might shape the care that is being delivered or designed. Understanding that there might be some cultures where telling someone that they have a limited lifespan is not something that the patient wants to hear, but the family might need to hear that. Understanding that if our patient is from the gay, lesbian, or trans community, that we need to be accepting and understanding that they might have a different family structure and a different relationship structure. And so that we don't have that person go back into the closet when they're having medical interactions, that we're supporting with that. Understanding that religious beliefs might change all sorts of things that we might offer. There may be some people have very strong religious beliefs that are about maintaining the sanctity of life, where offering them or letting them know that there's a voluntary assisted dying program might be something that they would find unpleasant. So we need to be really sensitive to all of those belief structures and often incorporate that into our care and understand that sometimes our own moral structures might be thinking this might be the best way to proceed, but that's actually different to how the patient's construct of life actually is, and we need to respect that.
Yes. And as I understood, you consider a family and caregiver in palliative care too. So they participate of the program of palliative care.
Yeah. Our model of care is inclusive of family. So it's patient focused, but very family friendly. And that family structure is, however, has evolved around that individual. There are some of us who don't have much family, or they might be living at a distance, and our family has become a friend network around us. And we need to be really understanding and respectful. But everyone has different structures and culturally from family structures.
Yes. Mr. McConvey, please tell us a little bit about the PDPOL project, its origins, aims and achievements.
So the PDPOL project, it was an amazing European-wide project that is very much grounded in education and developing an online education tool, but also looking at developing new standards of palliative care. We have very limited standards that are available to us, very interdisciplinary focused and led through by Angelo Antonini and his team at the University of Padua. It really has achieved some amazing things where we've been able to look at ways we can integrate palliative care into mainstream healthcare, so into disability and rehabilitation services, and model that care where you've actually got maybe neurology, rehabilitation and palliative medicine all intersecting to support the best possible care, acknowledging that we need to take elements of all different models to actually support the individual, that it might not be that linear palliative care that we might see in oncology, that neurology palliative care is a very complex delivery. There will be some people that start receiving palliative care who might have been in the community struggling along. Suddenly they're getting really good care and their condition actually improves. They're still palliative, but they're living a bit better. And the PDPOL project really looked at all of those elements and pulled them together in a really beautiful model. And it's supported by some amazing online education that actually anyone can access to upskill and increase their awareness of best practice delivery of palliative care for people with Parkinson's.
A beautiful, wonderful project, yours. What do you think it's the next priorities for integrating palliative care into routine management of movement disorders?
I think we have a number of challenges in front of us. Some of those are making sure that we have a healthcare workforce that is equipped to actually understand the transition from routine care into more care that takes a palliative approach and to be able to respond to those cues. We have some challenges within our healthcare systems to make sure that the care that someone with Parkinson's requires towards the end of life is actually resourced. We know that it's a different model of palliative care than what might be existing for oncology. This is a much more interdisciplinary approach to palliative care and probably lasts longer. So I think for us, as clinicians, when we're seeing someone with Parkinson's and we're thinking, if you passed away in the next sort of year or so, I wouldn't be surprised. That's often a sentinel marker that this patient, we need to really think of a palliative approach to their care to make sure that their spiritual, physical and psychological needs are being addressed, that we've got good speech therapy in there to make sure secretions and communication is optimal, physiotherapy for comfort, OT for fatigue management, nursing care for continence and skin care, and that we're also incorporating spiritual care and psychology to support that. So we've got to resource those models, which are challenging because that's expensive. And so one of our challenges might be that we need to develop some lobby tools that we can then take back to government or insurers and say, this is what we need to deliver the best care.
Perfect. And your work on delivering multidisciplinary care, you published, I think, in 2023, and rehabilitation is really, really, really outstanding. I think it was in Journal of Parkinson's Disease, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
It's amazing. I encourage you to look into this paper because it's wonderful. Mr. Victor McConvey, thank you again for your wonderful collaboration today. And to our listeners, stay tuned for the next episode of our Heart Topic series.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.